Isn't the heart a baby?
Yes. Heart is a baby. Heart is the baby of our life.
Now, it's fundamental, like a baby. The baby is beautiful and pure and everything. And the scripture says, unless you become like little babies, you won't enter the paradise. Is that right? So don't we be grown men, 40, 50, 60... innocent. That baby's purity. And then walk in that purity and in that innocence into the paradise. That's what it means, you see. The heart is symbolic of that, I repeat. But look what has grown up on the foundation that was once the baby. A man grew up upon the ground, upon the earth. Of the baby, right? Likewise for the heart. Look at this heart now. This heart, though it is inside me, it represents my first life, my first consciousness, or whatever we want to say, is inside me. But if I'm to speak, I'm to have mind, intelligence, right? To speak. Okay. What is this heart doing for my mind? It's pumping blood to my brain. And my brain is mostly blood. Right? It's a big organ that's mostly blood. And my heart is pumping blood to that brain. What if I were to use my head? So if I have to use my tongue, don't my brain, has to be working to speak clearly? See? Now, if I want to use my hair, don't I have to have a blood pumping? The truth of that is that the more I use this hand, the more blood pumps to the hand. Because the heart needs to feed the hand, doesn't it? The heart feed the brain, speech, intelligence. Heart feeds the organs that have to work. So see, though the heart is the weakest testimony against wrong, it is fundamental. It's first. It's critical, crucial to the need of the whole life. Is that not right? Yes. So what is it? What is it speaking when my tongue speaks? It's my heart. A healthy heart and a diseased one. Right? I hope you can follow my poetic talk. Yes. So when I'm speaking, my heart is speaking. When a person speaks with no heart, you feel his words coming from his lips. Say, hey, that man is dead. His words just coming from his lips. Ain't nothing there. So when I speak, I'm speaking with my heart. And if I come to do something with my hand, I'm doing it with my heart. Hey, man, do that like you got some heart in it. So put some heart into your work, man.
Isn't it beautiful? Man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And what does Allah say in the Quran? And Allah didn't give any creature two hearts. Only one heart.
So if you do it with the light of your heart, then you're going to do it right. And it says, if the being be singular, that's doctrine. If the being be singular, the whole body be light. That means if you put your heart into it, if you give your heart to it in a truthful way, then your whole life will be light. But if you don't use your heart as the
yardstick or the criteria,
if you don't use your heart as that rule or criteria, and you use your own thinking, then your life is divided. Your life is fragmented. Your light is coming from here and there, coming from different sources. There's conflict and confusion in your life. Some of us say, oh, I don't buy anything. And I don't understand. I don't buy anything that my own mind doesn't accept. I make my own decisions. I think for myself. Good. Good. But where are you coming from? Are you coming from the best of yourself or the worst of yourself? The best of yourself is your truthfulness. The best of yourself is your innocence, your honesty. The best of yourself is your rightness. The best of yourself is your heart. Taking a position to be truthful. That's the best of yourself. The best of yourself is not your cunning. When a serpent, he had more cunning than any creature on earth. So says the book. Says that he was more subtle than any creature on earth. But look what the serpent did to the garden. He messed it up. Let's wait. We got time. So, dear beloved people, if you want to be effective, if you want to be able to manage great things, you first have to have your own life in order. Or you at least must know the proper order for your life so you can work at better and better order in your life. Without that, you can't expect much achievement in life. You can't expect to deal with great forces, great opposition. There'll be too much for you. And the people that have that problem, they can't expect to be equal to other people that don't have the problem. No, you can't expect it. So there are a lot of people we talk about knowledge of self and the willingness on our part to accept the best of ourselves. To be what God intends us to be. To be truthful. Allah says in the Quran, when you speak justly. Words be against yourself, or near relatives, close friends. Allah says, when you speak justly. Doesn't this require this discipline I'm talking about right now? This wholeness of the human spirit, wholeness of the human mind, purity of the human spirit, purity of the human mind, purity of intent, purity of intention. It requires that. That we have one heart. If you have two hearts, one is a liar. Right? Yeah, you got two hearts, one heart is a liar. Because the heart is either all right or all wrong. A lot of wrong we do is in ignorance. Or just out of habit. But once that comes to the attention of our conscience, that's seated in deep down, we call it a heart. Once that comes to the attention of that deep-seated conscience, and we can tell you that, oh, buddy, we're hypocrites. You see that? They're all part of the universe. And uni means one. Verse is clear. Verse. One verse. So the one verse, it must be one version. Not two or one. So man eventually learns. He's able to see that there's a unit, one. Praise be to Allah. Now we come to our own human world. Can we accept, if we believe in this oneness, can we accept that man or the human race or the human family, whatever terminology you want to use, begin as two, one righteous, one wicked, one white, one black? Can we separate the human family into races and say that they are inherently different? No. Allah says that He made you from nafsin wahida, from one soul. One. And then made of it its mate. And spread from those two many men and women. And they became all the people we know on earth, according to the concept in the Quran. So you see how this principle also applies to our perception of humanity, perception of race, of man. It's a violation of unity, of the oneness of God and the oneness of its creation. It's a violation of that unity to say that white man is inherently different from me. It's a violation of that. And what is the number one principle? Oneness, Tawheed. When we come to the Hajj that we make at least once in our lifetime if we're able to, what is demonstrated there at the Hajj? And on what day do we come there? Yes, the 10th day. We meet on Arafat on the 9th day. And we come to make the circuit on the 10th day. Also, the day of sacrifice. Is that not correct? On the 10th day. What is in 10? One. Is there any other number in 10? No. There's just something indicating that this one has moved up 10 degrees. Yes, is that right? Yes. And Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he said, take charge of five before five do you it. Now, if you take charge of five to deal with five, how many are you working with? Ten. You're conscious. That means you're conscious. Five is essential for man. But Allah has not made man to operate on any one single principle. Are you enjoying this? I hope you are. You know, this is getting a little heavy. And I don't want to bring the scholarly talk or heavy talk on people if they don't like it. But believe me, I know how to put it. 10 ounces of gold on a feather and make it float. So, don't worry, Allah has blessed us to carry this. It ain't too heavy. It ain't too heavy for us. All right. Now, Allah says that He has made every creature to function upon the principle of duality. And He alone is Wahidul Qahar, one and one in all of this function. How can you understand this? Allah says, and never did He take on a consort, a woman, that He may have a child. Because that's what we need. We operate in two. We need to have a female to reproduce the body. Because that body functions upon a dual principle. Now, I know they have artificial insemination and all this stuff. That doesn't mean nothing. Where you got that inseminate? Where you got something to inseminate?
All right.
These old jockabites take us out on these trips, and we had to come back home every now and then.
Well, don't need no man no more. We don't need the man no more to have a child.
Well, where you getting that from, a monkey or what?
That's our problem. We give this white man more credit than he deserves. We think the white man can create the world. We're waiting on the white man to create a human being.
First human being he created, I'm going to kill him myself. Because I know that's going to be hell. They already messed us up just creating ideas.
Praise be to Allah.
Now, so you know, the human being is a creature of five senses. And all of our information comes by way of the five senses. All of our expression is by way of the five senses. I see, I hear, I feel, I taste, I smell. Right?
They want me to look pretty for this skimmer.
That's a heck of a job. I want to look pretty for Allah. That's an easy job. All right.
You don't ask too much of me.
Now,
somebody will say, oh no, man has a sixth sense. What sixth sense is that? He has an intuitive grasp. Yes, he does. Well, that's smelling, or feeling, or seeing, or hearing, or tasting. Just one or the other. Do you understand that?
I can see intuitively. But the seeing, that's a higher development of the senses. It ain't no new sense. It's a higher development of those I got already. Allah only created us with five.
Six is not another sense.
Six is the independent use of the sense.
Free will. The limited free will of the human being. And God created the man on the sixth day. When he created man to have free will. Then he created him to be a dummy or a robot. Created him to exercise judgment.
All right. So five, that's all you got. That's what Allah gave you, that's all you got. Don't look for six or seven.
You ain't got it. You ain't gonna never get it. You only got five senses. You talking about you got an intuitive sense? That's one of those five, or all of them working together on a higher plane of development. I can see intuitively. That's sin. Ain't no another sense. That's sin. I can hear intuitively. I can smell intuitively. How can I smell intuitively? Intuitively. Smell intuitively means I don't hear it. I don't see it. I can't taste it. I can't feel it. But I know it exists. I suspect. On the basis of what I know, I suspect. And I have a strong urge. Say, go on, it's there. So I'm following it by my nose, intuitively.
I hope this is helping out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, so God said he had not created any creature to function except on the principle of duality. So if I got five, then five and a whole. Get the black bull for me. Five a whole. They are five, but they operate as one.
I know it's uncomfortable. Can you give them a bit of that fan? Turn it out that way, like that. Allahu Akbar. As soon as they get the bull, turn the fan so it hits out that way, like that.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, is the other side clean?
Okay, good. All right.
Isn't that bad language we got? Is the other side clean? Now, we didn't dirty it up. I should say, is the other side clear? Or is it empty? Is the other side clean? This world thinks all matter is dirty. All matter is dirty. Take the chalk and put on the board. Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. So we don't word up there no more. Clean the board. It's clean up there with that. Bismillahi Rahman Rahim. It's clean. We can say clear the board, race the board. Take that away or something, you see. All right. Now, look at five. Can I have a piece of chalk? They're going to get me a piece of chalk. So we'll go there, but why? We're going to keep talking until they get the chalk. Now, I use the Bible. I use whatever we know. Because if we have evidence or have something to support what we're presenting from Islamic, from the Islamic perspective or from Islamic sources, then that's better. What Allah tells in the Quran, what Allah told the early Muslims through Prophet Muhammad in the Revelation, he said, and consult the people of the scripture. Ask the people of the book to verify. You don't believe this? Ask the people of the book. Consult the people of the book. All right? So when I do that, they say, Brother Man, just use your father did that. You use the Bible. But you shouldn't use the Bible. You shouldn't use the Bible, brother. The people once believed in the Bible. Some of them still do. And the Bible bear witnesses to what we're saying of the Quran. How come I shouldn't use the Bible? And when Allah says in the Quran, and consult the people of the book. If I can consult the people of the book, I know I can consult their book. All right. We're having a good time. Now, see, this is five. Now, that five there, it's not the five, it's not five in Arabic. That's five in English. That's five in Rome. Five in America. That's not five in the land of the prophet. This is five in the land of the prophet. Now, in the science of numbers and figures, what do they tell us about a circle? What does a circle symbolize more than just a circle? Completion. Completion. What does completion suggest? Perfection. What does completion and perfection? Wholeness. What does wholeness suggest? One. See how we take five and make it one? Five senses can't operate separately. They are five in their aspects. They are all aspects of one sense. Yes! I taste an apple. But can I taste that apple if my mind is not on it? If my mind on the apple, I'll have apple in my mouth and won't be tasting it. Right? I can have my arm around you, brother, and not even know it if my mind is occupied on something else. Say, oh, man, I'm sorry for keeping my arm on you like that. I was feeling it and didn't know it. So that tells me that all of those senses are expressions, communications of one sense. That's why the ancient people just wrote a circle. So we don't know how to do this, but we know one thing. It's whole, it's round, it's all together, it works together. So they wrote something symbolizing wholeness, and they called it five. That's that circle I got up there. Some of them making it fast, they just do this. For five. But actually, it's a circle. Five is a circle. And if you look after the at the end of the verses of the Quran, you see a circle. What does it mean at the end of that circle? A complete revelation. In its unit, in its all, in its own self, it is a complete revelation, a complete area of earth. Right? But since five is also written like that, what does it suggest? That it is rational method. It appeals to the five senses of man. He needs his five senses to appreciate it. And if he gets sick, he's in trouble. Don't come up with no sixth sense now. Don't get spooky. You sure won't get that revelation right. Now, we get two of these together, and we got five and five. Isn't that how the men in science make symbolize the sperm or the germ? Don't they use circles to symbolize the sperm and the germ? And you know you put two of these circles together, and you get what it means for one sperm. Or for life, right? Yeah. You might call it, what? Sperm and ovary? You know. I don't want to talk too much. You know, I think you got the picture. All right. Now, says he has not made any creature except to function as duality, mate, male and female, negative, positive, like that. Okay? So if this is five, and for you to function, you must also have another five. How do you get two fives? One five is in your sensory body, S-E-N-S-O-R-Y, I think it is. The other five is in your conscience. You can't have five in the conscience if five is not in the sensory body. Right? You have to have five in the sensory body. So when this body is dead, you don't have that five in the conscience, do you? No. So to have five in the conscience, you must have five in the sensory body. Then the five come out of the sensory body and manifest as five in the conscience. I touched up so hot. It was hot first in the sensory body. The hand felt it first and then sent the message of heat of hot to the mind. And now it's hot in the mind, right? Okay, so look at this action now. I touch something hot. It comes hot on the hand first, then hot in my conscience. So what saw it was hot? The use of five senses? Five senses in the body? Sense of feel, right? Brought to the mind, it's the five, it's of the five. Brought it to my mind, and now it's hot in my mind, right? Now, hot in the hand, hot in the mind. Now, what I have to do now? Get the hand off if it's hot, too hot. So, hot. Sometimes people be busy. But their mind is too occupied for the hot to go to the mind. Right? They waited too long, you see. The mind was too occupied for it to be raised in the mind. And they went, hurt my head. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. So we have five operating on the body level, then five reaches the conscience, and the conscience is supposed to act. Take the hand out of danger. That goes for the five. That's the way the five senses operate. So Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he says, take charge of five before five do away with you. If you don't keep your what conscious of what you're doing, of your, what you're involved in, then five will do away with you. And the world exploits that level of awareness. They exploit that sensory level of awareness. Look at all the advertisements. How it's geared to sexual pleasure. How it's geared to
simple animal expression. It's not appealing to the intellect. They explore us on that level so that it never comes into the conscious. And in order to act, we must act with truth. Sense in the body, sense in the conscience. In other words, as Allah says in the Quran, and he made us zakara wa unta, right? Zakara is male. Unta, female. What is zakara? Zakara means what? Reflecting. We do zikr. Reflecting on the names of God, the attributes of God. Zakar means remember, recall, reflect. So if we put our hand here and it's hot, I have to reflect on what's happening. So it goes here and goes back. That's reflect. The problem went from here, here. Then it went back there. It reflected. Right? Like a mirror. Light hit the mirror, back. Right? So that's zakara. And Allah made us zakara. That's the meaning of male. Zakara. In that term, zakara. Zakara means the one who has that ability to use his conscience to see something, grasp something, and reflect back to the source. If we can't reflect back to the source, then we don't have communication, do we? If I call you and you start speaking to that thing over there, man, we can't communicate. If I call you, you got to reflect back from to the source. If we're going to communicate. Some people, you know, I can call and he start talking to George. I say, hey, Brother George. Hey, Brother William. See, yeah, Brother George. It's all over with. It's all over with. Instead of speaking to who called him, he start talking to the other person. And then look at you and they think you're supposed to understand how the conversation goes. Yeah, man, talking to that's George. But I ain't speaking to George. I'm speaking to you, man. So communicate. Be back up. Praise be to Allah. Now, so when five is functioning from two situations, from the situation of flesh, our body perception, and mind perception, then we have what we call consciousness. Right? And that's 10. 5 and 5 is a 10, right? This world has that knowledge too. That's why when the fighter get knocked down, they say, 1, 2, 8, 9, 10, out. Now, what does that tell us? That if you can't come within 10, you don't have consciousness. You should be able to get yourself together in 10. But what else it tells us about the language of this side of the world that differs from the language of the other side of the world? It means that 10 in this world is out. But actually in this world, your 10 is asleep. Yes! Who they showed in this movie, Big 10, with her braids and stuff? Go there. She was a big 10, wasn't she? That's supposed to be consciousness, right? She was a big 10. But what was her life all about? Showing herself on the beach naked, wearing her braids, jumping up and down in the water, raising her breasts above the level of the water and stopping back down with them. And running from the beach to the bed. That's what the whole movie was about. Running from the beach to the bed. In the water and in the bed. Yes. And they called her perfect 10. A perfect 10. And that scripture says, that one beast rose up with 10 horns. A beast. Yeah, it's all, I told you, it's all right. It's all right. You finally caught up with him, didn't you? Yeah, Allah bless us to catch up with him. Yeah.
Excuse me a minute here. I hope you all don't mind. When I'm with you folks, I feel at home. I don't... Allahu Akbar. I don't feel stiff, like I have to stand up here and be uncomfortable. Now I have to wipe my face and blow my nose. So I feel that, you know, they say, oh, look out. Look, what kind of speaker is he? Turn his back to the audience. Well, hell, I ain't ashamed of my back. I ain't hiding nothing behind my back. That rule is for those fellas that hide things behind their back. All right, thank you. Let us continue now. You know, five senses represent our life. That's why when a woman is buried in Al-Islam, she is wrapped in five pieces of cloth. Because she represents the physical form and nature that God created, out of which all life must come, both male and female. So when the male passed, they shroud him in three wraps. Now we know the five. Jesus said, you had five husbands. And the one you have now is not yours. He was talking to the woman at the well. And at that time, she had a pot. And she was dipping the pot down into the well to bring up water. And Jesus was telling her, you're not supposed to get water with a pot from the well. You're supposed to get water from the well with your five senses. Pot represents ritualism. Pot represents cultural traditions, etc. We're doing things out of habit because the culture gave us this. But we don't understand what we're doing. What Jesus was telling the woman is you're supposed to use your five senses. God made your five senses to rule over your body. That's your husband. Five, only five. Now, we know this terminology is not Islamic. This is gospel. So don't come up and say, ma'am, talk five husbands, man. That doesn't sound Islamic. Tell the whole truth. All right? Now, let us look at the five now manifest on a higher level. We talk about five in the flesh body, five in the sensory body, five in the mind. Now, five should go another distance. And the five that goes another distance, well, we will be able to articulate. We will have insight. We will be able to see. And the angel pressed the prophet three times. He twisted, I can't read. He was fixing on it, I can't read. Then something else happened, and he began to read. What is that? Purpose, purpose. Man just don't want to just feel and respond. Man just don't want to see and reflect. Man want to know what's deep in there. Man want to know what is this intended for? What is the purpose? Man want to see into matter, not just on matter. So when we're able to see into things and understand their natural working, understand their purpose in the universe, or in the universe of all other things, we are men of science. Is that not right? Oh, yes. And when we know the purpose of a thing, then we are home. Right? Oh, yes. Knowing the purpose of a thing brings us home. Yeah. How many places gets us to home place? Three. First, second, third, home. Right? You have to go over three to get home. You don't call home plate no fourth place. That ain't
24 states, man. That's home. Yeah. Once you get off three, you're home. What does off three mean? Three of three. Three of three. How are you three of three when you know how to use that knowledge as God intended for being used? Then that knowledge is not mastering you. You're free of the mastery or the weight of that knowledge. And doesn't science burden man? Doesn't science enslave man? Science oppresses man? Science destroys man, humanness? Why? Because he haven't got three of it. He haven't seen the purpose for it. But in the language of the baseball game, if he can come to third base and jump off of it and get home, now he's at home with the knowledge of one, first place, second place, and third place in his hand. Now he can read. Yes, yes. You see, man is a thinking creature. He reflects. But once he gets insight, that's home. Insight will take him home. Because I can use the knowledge of insight to go and correct my life. Yes, right? The knowledge of insight is going to correct the problems I have. If this home is a hell, the knowledge of insight will make it a home. Right? Oh, yes! Praise be to Allah. I think it was that architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, Morton architect. He says, it's not looking at the world, but looking into it. But insight is what you need to manage your life. And if you don't have it, blessings to those who don't. Some of us will have other principles that excel. And just because one has insight doesn't mean he's better than the other. May the other have other principles that excel. But all of us must accept rational leadership, sound leadership, intelligent leadership, and men of insight are the best people to lead us. Praise be to Allah. Now, time is flying, but I don't want to leave yet. I'm not quite finished yet. Now, I want you to understand this world we live in. I can tell you all about the Quran, all about the Islamic world overseas. But if we can't connect that and relate that to this, aren't we still in the dark? We want to understand the language of this world, too. And what do they say in Shakespeare's play? The rebellion that brought down Julius Caesar. They plotted it with all men, his friends that he trusted. They were plotting against him. One of his right hand men, his close buddy. Was Judas, I believe, wasn't it, Judas? And he said, you too, Judas? When he saw what they had done and saw them killing him, and they all standing there with their knives drawn, he was surprised to see Judas there. Say, you too, Judas? Say, now, Judas, you are brutal.